In the first reading, we heard this amazing story from the Old Testament, from the book of the prophet Daniel. There's these three faithful Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Everyone say that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. One more time. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So great names for grandkids, by the way. Love those Old Testament names. But they are actually, they've been captured by an enemy. They're actually in exile under King Nebuchadnezzar. He's captured a bunch of these Jewish people, taken them away from their land. He's making them work for him. And the king says, I want you to worship not the true God, not your God, the God of Israel. I want you to worship my God, these idols, these false gods. And what's the first and greatest commandment for a Jew? You worship the one God alone. There's no other gods but the one true God. And so, because the king wants to frighten them into worshiping these idols, he gets this fire going, this huge furnace. He's going to throw them inside the fire to kill them. He has the fire blazing. And do they give in? No. They refuse to worship the idols. So the king says, fine, I'm throwing you in. They throw them in the fire, and the fire doesn't even touch them. They're protected from the fire, and they even see a fourth being walking around in the fire with them. It's an angel walking around in the fire with them, and they're singing and praising God in the Hebrew language. And the king is just amazed. He can't believe it. He brings them out and he says, your God is something else. Your God's amazing because he protected you. And he actually honors those faithful Jews for resisting, disobeying God's law, and believing in their God. He honors them for that. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are actually become high up in this foreign kingdom, waiting for the time when they can go back to Israel. But they had to resist sin because, you know, they saw that fire being stoked really hot, and they knew if they're thrown in there, it's really going to hurt. It's just not going to be fun. They could feel the heat coming off of that furnace. They didn't want to go in the fire. But they knew that it was better to resist sin and to listen to God than even to be burned up. God protected them and brought them out alive for us to learn a lesson today. In our lives, we're called to resist sin as well. All the Ten Commandments show us how to resist sin, how to live lives that are good and holy, how to honor the Lord God. And you know what? Sometimes resisting sin is really hard. Who here has given up something for Lent, and it's been really hard to be faithful to it these 40 days? Anybody be like, it's been really hard. Anybody have a few stumbles where you're like, I kind of gave in some days? See whose hand is up as well? Yeah, this is me too. It's been hard some of these days of Lent, right? And here's the thing. As we resist sin, there are some days when it's easier. When like everything's going well in my life, like I'm having a good day, I'm in a good mood, you know, you get the A on the test, you know, you've had a really healthy, nutritious meal, everything's going well with your friends at school. Like on some of those days, it's like, okay, when the temptation comes, I feel like I'm strong enough to resist it. But then there's those days where it might be harder to resist sin because something's not going well. Maybe your parent says, no sweets tonight, no more cookies. But you're still a little hungry. Is it harder or easier to resist going into the cookie jar when you're full or when you're hungry? Is it easier if you're full or if you're hungry? Easier to resist sin. Is it easier to resist sin when you're full or when you're hungry? When you're full, because you don't really want to eat that. I mean, maybe you still want to have a cookie, but when you're really hungry and the cookie's looking even better, you want to go for that cookie if your stomach's not totally full. Or let's say yesterday you had a test, you bombed it. You failed the test. You're like, oh, this is awful. And now my mom and dad are going to be upset, and I got to like maybe retake it or study harder. And then maybe someone this morning outside when you're coming into school maybe says something not so nice. And if you had gotten an A on the test, you would have been like, whatever, like I'm just not going to, just going to ignore that, just going to keep on going with my day, I'm going to not respond and lash out. But because you're angry because you bombed that test, you just like fight back with this person. Just like say something mean right back to them. Not kind. When we're having a bad day, it's harder to resist sin. And that's why when we do resist it, it's actually more meritorious for us. When you're having a bad day, when you really want the cookie, when you really want to give in to having that thing, when you want to just like say something mean back to someone or tease someone because you're having a bad day, and you resist that sin, you actually get more holy than if it was a good day. Because it takes more strength. You see, God uses temptations even to make us holy. We never want to sin, but we know that all of us will be tempted. And if we resist those temptations, it actually makes us holy. Because God uses the enemy's plans even against him. Now, here's one amazing thing. Remember back in the book of Genesis, that our first parents in that story, they fell into that first original sin. God told them, don't eat the fruit from this tree, the knowledge of good and evil, and they did. Did Adam and Eve lack for anything in the garden? Were they missing anything in the Garden of Eden? No. Were they hungry? Were they like hungry and starving for anything? No. Did they have any bad days where they bombed a test, where they were mean to each other before the fall? Any days like that? No. They had everything they needed. And they still chose to disobey God. And we pay the price for that. And we as well need a redeemer. But think about this. That 2,000 years ago, God sent his son Jesus to save us from our sins, to die on the wood of a tree. And when Jesus was on the cross, was he having a good day? No. Had he been beat up the night before? Yep. Was he bleeding from his head and from his feet and his hands? Yep. Was he hungry? He was, yes. He hadn't eaten for a long time. Was he thirsty? Yeah. Did his friends, his apostles, did they stay with him? Were they right next to him, all 12 at the cross? No, they abandoned him. They ran away. They were scared and terrified. They left their friend. Jesus suffered so many things on the cross, physically and emotionally and mentally. He was not having any good things that day to help him resist temptation. But even though he was missing all these things, when he was on the cross, he didn't give in to sin once. He was tempted to come down from the cross. The devil wanted him not to go through with this. The Jewish leaders said, if you're the Messiah, prove it by coming down from this cross. Where's your angels? Where's your armies? Prove it. Give in. Cave. And Jesus didn't budge. He loved God the Father to the very end, and he loved us to the very end. He paid the price for our sins. He resisted sin, and he instead chose to do what God always wants us to do, which is to love in every circumstance. No matter how hard it is, God commands us to love. And Jesus didn't have any good things going for him that day, but he still chose to love to the very end. Isn't that amazing? I mean, for me, when I gave up some things this Lent, even on some good days, I was like, I kind of want to just, you know, have that dessert or do this thing or check Facebook or whatever it is. Even on some of my good days, I gave in to some of those little things. Jesus carried the weight of the sins of the world. He bled. His friends left him. He was left alone on the cross. And he never failed to love. That's how he saves us. That's actually how we receive salvation. The love that he had to the end is given to us. And now we can resist sin like Jesus. We can. We can. We aren't slaves of sin. We're children of God. As we come closer to Holy Week into Easter, friends, let's keep in mind how much Jesus suffered for us out of love. How much He resisted sin because he wanted us to have life. Let's remember how good Jesus is. That in him there is no trace of darkness, no trace of sin, no trace of cutting corners or giving in. He's totally full of love. He's perfect in every way. And just like God saved those three Jews from the fire under King Nebuchadnezzar, God raised up his son Jesus from the dead. He honored his son and showed that love overcomes death. So this morning, friends, our invitation is just to praise God for how good Jesus is, to love God for how amazing he is, and to believe that God delivers us from death. God keeps us and protects us from sin. We can be holy. We can live holy lives. We can resist sin. It does not have mastery over us. Yes, we may have some days where we lose the battle and we come back and say, Lord, I'm sorry, but sin is not our master. Jesus is our master. And he loves us, and he's with us today.